Guadalupe Squares. Ringtones and videos of Creepy E getting the knocked out of him. Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Online at 98kupd.com.
He's our new version of Stephen Hawking, our ambulatory Stephen Hawking now. He can move around and do stuff. He gets the chair.
His show, Star Talk, have you watched it?
Awesome, because he's so entertaining. He's amazing.
He had a priest on there the other day. It was
so incredibly entertaining to listen to him just babble. He can just look at you and talk for an hour, and you're like, that was all great. Every word of it
you
was
are
great.
So smart.
I don't think I understood a third of it, but most of it was just great. And you sold me on whatever it is you're selling. He's amazing. So, yeah, but the chair.
That Neil Tyson.
The chair just goes to the next guy. Like, it has to be like the Elephant Man's bones. Like, Michael Jackson has to. Somebody good has to own that. Neil deGrasse Tyson's my first choice. Or do we have any eccentric celebrities?
The guy from Ancient Aliens?
No. I'm talking about real celebrities. You're in the reality world. So I'm talking about, we don't have any more real celebrities that are like, ooh, that guy would own it. That would be pretty neat. I don't know who would own that. That you would, like, when Michael Jackson bought the bones of the Elephant
Warren
Man, supposedly. No, he's too straight and narrow. You weren't surprised when Michael Jackson did it. We don't have any weirdo superstars anymore. You'd be like, oh, that nutball's going to buy that.
Musk.
Elon Musk's a maybe. Possibility.
He'll tinker with it.
He would turn it electric
he'll send it to space. Yeah.
No, we don't want that. We want Hawking's chair to be. I want to visit it, I think. I don't know. It's like he's still there.
The Hawking satellite?
And does it just stop working, too? Like when Stephen Hawking dies, does it just power down? Or is it just waiting for its next?
It's ready,
flipping and waiting.
It's kind of like when those people get hit on their bikes and then they paint them white. You just do that with the chair.
But he didn't. We wouldn't
stick it at his
right next to his bed.
Mm. Yeah, wherever he's buried, or I'm sure he got cremated.
I'm pretty sure he'd save space. I want an elaborate tomb that takes up most of
maybe
land.
Maybe in the chair.
Yeah, but gets buried in the chair. Maybe. I don't know what his wishes were, but the chair is special. Stephen Hawking's chair is special. It needs to go on a tour. It's to roll about the nation, a science fair, and it's like leading the way, like a train engine.
Yeah, so we could visit it.
Yeah, and we need to remote control it and then put like a little stuffed animal doll in there that looks like Stephen Hawking and then roll him out into the middle of the thing. And yay! And then a string will raise his arm and it'd be pretty neat.
Or maybe one of these amusement parks turns it into a new roller coaster.
Disneyland. Hawking's Black Hole.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I just hate to see it all disappear. Because without question, he was the coolest robot this planet's ever seen, and now he's gone. But Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's interesting. We both had the same thoughts. Like, that's his chair now. I thought the same exact thing.
He went.
Yeah, he's got it. They were so on the same page that he should, just for studying so much of Stephen Hawking's work, get the chair. Not in like that way, get the chair. So it's a prison way to kill people.
Passing the baton.
He gets the chair. The chair goes to the next. It's like a poet laureate of science. So, yeah, it was kind of a mess. And then Austin, the South by Southwest thing has just gone nuts with a bomber. They canceled all the stuff. And that's a big deal. That South by Southwest thing is a massive event. And they're canceling it because some kid is bombing stuff. And then they had another one go off over the weekend that wasn't related, evidently. And they're on a lockdown right now. Because they found another package and got a bomb call in now that said that they're... So we've got... That's the first time in a long while a major city's had a mad bomber. I remember when I lived in Morgantown, West Virginia as a kid, we had this guy blowing up parking garages. In the middle of the night, in Morgantown, it was not a big city, but in the middle of the night, you just hear... And everybody would be like, oh, where was that? And for like, I don't know, it felt like a year, but it was probably a month or so. Stuff would blow up out of the blue, and you weren't allowed to go into places, and people were flipping out that their house was going to be next, and then they started getting lower levels and like trying to take down full parking garages. There weren't many things that were tall, but the college was there, and the college was taking the brunt of it. And as a kid, I was scared to death. But mad bombers used to kind of just happen in cities every once in a while.
The 70s in Cleveland, I've always my parents about it, but that was, individual bombings, but they're happening, and I guess people just knew, that's just mob work.
That's what they thought in Morgantown, and it turned out to be some college kid. He was just pissed off at buildings, and he was trying to blow them all up, and he was just nuts. We had one here in Phoenix in the late 80s. A guy was bombing stuff. It didn't last very long, but he was dropping bombs for no reason at all and just launching them out there. It's weird. So they got one of those now. So everybody's losing their minds. So we need to ban people from being together. I think that's the big thing. Ban massive groups of people, because all it is inviting lunatics to try to kill us all. So I think
sports is good on TV.
That's great. Well, I got a beef with a couple things going on with the NCAA tournament, and it isn't the band anymore. It's that goddamn student section. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, anything more than 20 people, we just shut the doors. All concerts are 20 people. Everything's an exclusive event now, because whenever you start adding more in, these Adderall'd up lunatics that have some bone to pick with society and a girl are trying to shoot us or kill us with bombs. And just, you know what, let's just shrink the crowds. Let's, instead of worrying about what weapon they'll use next, let's just stop being a giant crowd. And televised sports, you know, it stinks, but maybe charge everybody who wants to watch $5.
A la carte all sports.
I know, they kill you anyway. So just add $5 for a live event, and it's like you're there. And then they'll just fake pipe crowd noise in.
That's fine. Yeah, it's HD nowadays. I mean,
it's better. Look, I went to the NCAA championship last year. Was an event to behold. I didn't see an ounce of basketball because it's in a football stadium. I couldn't see the ball. I couldn't see where it was. Sitting with Tripp, and we're looking at each other. I don't know. It seems exciting. Everybody down there seems happy. And we were in good seats, and you couldn't see the court. And we're on the wrong side of the screen. So when they were running away, the screen was coming at us, and we're like, I'm going to throw up. This is like being
a
blender. Yeah. You looked at the scoreboard to see if you made it. You heard the crowd, and you're like, I don't know which side's cheering. It was a miss or a make. The NCAA tournament has been, and I don't have a bracket, but
it's official. They're all busted.
There's not one bracket left. Yeah. Well, supposedly after the first day, there was only in the CBS one, and it was the first day, so it was only half of the first 64.
Verizon.
He was lying. Unless he was on the CBS one. If he was on the,
he said there was a total of 32. It was Thursday. And he didn't miss
Thursday
a game.
Yeah. Well, Thursday afternoon, Friday was the big one when Virginia lost.
Yeah.
But after
3% picked UMBC.
Yeah, there was nobody. But after the first day, they were down to like, CBS was like, this one, no way. The amount of people left cannot be perfect anymore.
Yeah.
It just can't happen. And it was already a foregone conclusion after day one. And then when Virginia lost, it's like, it's all shot. But they've been great games. And I don't have stake in the game. Like I've said in the past, if you don't have a bracket, you don't like college basketball that much. It's just not that fun to watch. It's usually a pretty poor product. But this weekend has been full of
first time
buzzer beaters and clinchers and fun and all that. It was great. Yeah, it was one in 140?
136 tries.
Yeah, that 16 beat a 1, and that's finally off the dock. And they almost won again.
And now on Little Caesar said if that happened, they'll buy you lunch.
That if a 1 over 16 wins again?
Now?
No. No, they said that before the tournament started, if a 16 seed beats a number 1 seed in March Madness.
Everybody gets free Little Caesars?
Yeah, so it's going down April 2nd. But you have to get there between 11:30 and 1 p.m.
And you got
to
be in a line while supplies last.
Hour and a half.
Yeah, that's still pretty good. That's lunch. That's the lunch hour. That's pretty good. But I was watching a game yesterday that was pretty close. It was A&M versus North Carolina. And I sat through.
Johnny
it was the one before. The one before.
Say, that one was ended up being a blowout.
It was the one before that was Purdue and whoever the hell they were playing. And it was unwatchable on television. Normally, the band will piss me off during NCAA events because they tootle.
The giant 7-footer on Purdue.
But it didn't matter, Brady, because every time whoever they were playing had the ball, everyone in the student section, who was mic'd up evidently, went, meh. So every time the other team had the ball, the crowd would drone in this moaning. And at first you're like, oh, okay, they're trying to get to the guy.
That's
the
their
point
thing.
Guard? No. They do it so long as their team doesn't have it. And you know what it does to you while you're watching TV? I think Flipper Flop's on. I think I'm going to turn it to Flipper Flop or watch a home
run. Had about enough of this.
This was absolutely dreadful. So I turned it back last night just for a second before I left the house. Another group of people have some sort of clankers. Tang, 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 tang. Every time the other team has the ball, and I'm like, this is going to catch on. This is going to be a thing in college basketball where the student section makes a ton of annoying nonsense constantly, the whole game. Not just every once in a while where it would be useful, but the entire game where it just becomes part of the surround set. It was awful. And that game ended up being – that was the – I think that was the Maryland-Baltimore County game. Whoa.
It makes sense that they would do that.
Oh, it's terrible. Why?
Well, it's just, you know, when you're at a live basketball game, like, and And you, because back when I was going to games for my high school team, we would always do something whenever the
other
team
had the ball.
Yeah, you're trying to rally. That's kind of the fun thing about
you get that star player and you.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
You ride
when one guy gets the ball. I used to like that when one guy got the ball.
Yeah.
The crowd would do something like, "Oh, they're going after him." When it's just we don't have it, so everybody go meh.
Yeah, I know.
For an hour, and on TV, when Jim Nantz is trying to get past
the channels, might have an issue. If like every single team has that going on for every game,
it was terrible. I couldn't. I'm
like,
I can't watch
this. Mic up that certain section.
I don't think
because a lot of those games are on the road, and it's not like, you know.
Yeah, but they get the band can do it. The band is there, and they when they're
I would imagine it's so loud it's going to take over.
Oh, it's just off. And plus, the game I was watching, there was no one there outside of the fans of the teams because nobody's going to see these regional games. They don't care. Like, they'll go to the ones if their team's in it. But the place was half empty. But the student section and the band were all there because they get freebies. And that band, when it's not tootling, is like, I don't need this.
I think I've given up completely on college sports because I haven't watched 1 minute of the basketball.
There's been some great finishes. This has been
always is. I don't know why.
Year, but it is tough. I'm with you. It is tough to sit through, especially when it's a bad college basketball game where they're just banging into each other and throwing brick after brick and the crowd seems like to not care. They still do their part. And then Sloopy happens 15, 16 times a game. It's like, I'm going to go watch Fixer Upper.
It's amazing how, like, the last few years I haven't done a bracket. Without a bracket, you don't care.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, brackets.
Like,
brackets
I used to get really into it, and then I stopped doing brackets. And I
thought I would for sure this week. And
do
I
a bracket?
I didn't.
Didn't even look for one this year. I haven't done a bracket in the last couple of years, and you're right. It just totally negates the. I'll watch here and there. I'll see highlights, and that's all you need. And it's like a couple of the games I've watched the ends of. I'm like, that was fascinating.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
You can flip to it like with 2 minutes left and then watch the end.
I'm not sitting through any of the full games, but I'll sit and flip like which one's got 2 minutes left and is it close? Because usually those end well. Outside of that, I'll wait until the championship. The Final Four was kind of fun. But, yeah, last year's Final Four, there was no real – all I thought last year at the Final Four was soft target. I'm a soft target right now. I'm in a pile of people waiting to go through security, which there were – 80.
That's what they want you to think.
Well,
John.
That's what I was thinking, because we're trying to go through security to be safe, and it bottlenecked at about 20,000 people standing in one spot, and I'm like, and none of us can run. Like, we're right there. It's like, we can't go anywhere. So if anybody goes nuts right now, this is pre-security, standing in the parking lot.
That's how you're going down with Trip Reeb.
This is where they kill us. Well, I hugged him. I said goodbye. This is it for us, you know.
Would you take a bullet for Trip? Would you jump in front of that bullet?
No. every man for himself.
Would you help him out? You wouldn't help him out.
If he got
shot
and he's like, go on without me, I'd be like, okay. But if he got hit and he's leaning on me, I'd help him out. But I mean,
he's slowing you down.
He's a sack of sand. I'm dropping him. If the bullets are flying, doesn't look like anybody's going to get to that guy anytime soon, and I've got a clear way out.
He's
the only
lived
thing,
a long life.
Yeah, I've got a guy.
Who would expect that?
I got a guy in his 60s riding me like Yoda. He's dropped. That is not. I'm not going to look. I need help.
Don't leave me.
So I shouldn't have gotten shot. I was standing right next to. I dodged it. Please don't let me. I don't want to go like this. Where is he? He's gone. Some good Samaritan will help you out. Don't worry about it. I'm getting out of the way of the fire. This is the smart thing to do.
I bought tickets for Vegas the other day, and they had some great deals at Mandalay Bay.
Oh yeah. They're like, still selling. Still selling. You still won't go back?
See, I don't know.
Mandalay Bay is not going to happen again there. It's the other places I'd worry about.
I had free rooms at either that place or MGM Grand, and I'm like, I'll just go to MGM Grand.
Really? See, now, I've been in soft targets at MGM Grand, too.
I know.
That's where Tupac got shot, right?
Well, that was outside.
Things have happened there.
Yeah, it was outside. He was just driving.
Sure, but you could be outside.
He left a fight. He left at MGM, which is what I've always felt like is where I've never felt more uncomfortable leaving the MGM.
After that UFC fight, I was
one hallway walking outdoors.
Just trampling if something happened.
It's a turkey shoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so soft targets. We create soft targets constantly. We could stop doing that. I mean, South by Southwest is a bunch of people just standing around looking at stuff. Perfect soft target for somebody. So let's just eliminate crowds. Not necessarily scared of it, but it would make tickets more exclusive to stuff. More special to go to an event. If they're only allow like 100 people in, that'd be pretty great. But yeah, that thing last year, that was Yeah, all like that. And you do. I stood in that big pile of people, and I'm like, this is exactly what, in the name of safety, we have created an absolute pen of death. If a lunatic wanted to say, well, this will be easy, they can't go anywhere. They're trapped in the security line. And I just thought to myself, who do I climb over? Where's the closest child and old woman that I can push for my exit? And then I had Trip on my back, and I'm not carrying that guy. He's made it this long. I figure he's got I follow him because he's probably figured it out a couple of times in his life to get out of bad situations. But yeah,
he just remains calm and kind of walks.
Calm down. I've been through it. Walk towards the gunman. No one does that. Like, no kidding. Smile at the gunman. Really? They don't know what to do.
I went to.
Or he's got a separate exit and entrance.
Yeah. Here, get in my teleporter. Isn't that cool?
I went to Tempe Diablo for a spring training game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have new metal detectors.
Yeah.
So at every entrance.
The new gate.
Yeah. So the line to get in is ridiculous. Like the game's starting and the line to get in is
that's
crazy.
That's the soft target.
Especially because the Cubs are there.
Yep. Yeah.
And so they opened up another line on the side, right? So we see it and we run over to the side. And they were just like fed up, I guess.
No metal.
Because I turned around, metal detector's completely off. I had a knife on me. I forgot about. Walked right through it.
They don't care. So the fun part, I went to the Diamondbacks.
They're like, screw it.
Smoking mirrors.
Yeah.
Smoking mirrors.
I go to the Diamondbacks game Friday. Funny you say that.
You're talking about the new plastic arches they have to walk through?
Oh, better still. The Diamondbacks playing the Dodgers on Friday, and I went with my friend who's a Dodger fan. We went Friday and get my phone and my keys out because I just assume you're supposed to put the keys. Come on through, no bag line. And I'm like, I've got all my stuff. It's going to go off. That's all right. It always goes off. And I'm like, every person that walked through, bang.
I can see it.
Bang. Come on, keep going, y'all. Keep going. I'm like, what is the purpose of this? But I'm like, you know what? This dude's part-time, and he's got a job for a month. He's got a job for a month.
People are bitching and complaining about the lines.
He doesn't
want to
hear it. He's making $12 an hour. He's like, no, just go. I don't care. Blow the whole goddamn place to smithereens. Everybody's going, bang, and we're all holding our keys and our phones in the air like that. And I'm like, okay, and then just walk through. It's gonna go, it goes off for everybody. That's what it does.
You walk through with a Clydesdale.
Yeah. Going through with the horses. I have bombs. It goes off for, how many times I got to say it?
Please hurry.
It goes off for all y'all. Keep moving. If I would have stopped every time this went off, no one would get in.
I got places to be.
Walked through and I had everything up like I was in a robbery. I had my hands in the air with my phone and my keys, and I'm like, I don't even know what the purpose of that was. It's a false sense of security. But the
five
dude,
sticks.
He was done. It was towards the end. You know, the game was just starting. We're all like, just go. I'm tired of it. This thing goes off constantly. There's no rhyme or reason for it. And that thing they do with a woman's purse.
Well, if you think about it.
Dumb.
Most of the events you go to are fine.
Right.
Like 99% of the events you go to. A
couple of fake wands.
Issues.
Yeah. No, the fake. I think the guy's making the noise. You got something in your pocket? No, keep going.
You have a better chance of getting hit by lightning. I thought I read that about than getting in a terrorist attack.
I watched a thing about the shooter in Colorado, though. The Holmes kid that shot at the Aurora Theater. And there was a documentary about him. And a psychiatrist had broken down all that he talked about after the fact because they interviewed him to see if he was fit to stand trial. It was a Showtime thing. I think it's America Under Siege or some sort of weird thing they're doing about all the.
Ooh, that sounds like
it's really
show.
Good. It's like, you're watching it, you're like, oh, okay. So they're interviewing the shooter.
And the Joker.
They're going through all these things. And the one thing he said was that was really interesting. And he said it was eye opening to the psychiatrist that was treating him to see if he could stand fit for trial. And this is what they said made him say, yes, you're totally sane for trial. You can stand a trial because your wits are about you. While he was shooting, he noticed that the people he was next to, he sat in the theater in the front couple rows for a while, got up, acted like he was getting a phone call, and went out to the exit to go outside to get his stuff, propped the door open. So that's how he got everything in. He parked in the back, and he did all this, you know, average Joe stuff, went in, sat down, acted like his phone rang, got up, and ran to the exit on the side, went outside, got his stuff. But he had made contact with the person next to him and the two people behind him, and he could remember their faces. And as he shot, he made sure not to shoot them because he said, I just didn't want it to be personal anymore. And he goes, and I could recognize them. And he said, and then the weird thing was I went to shoot a guy and he looked at me and smiled and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. And he pulled the gun up. and started to shoot over that guy. Because the dude just, he may have just been in terror and his face might have been making a face. He looked like he was smiling. He goes, I remember that the guy next to me was smiling and I spared him. So he just shot over the people he was direct. So bottom line
so
is.
So that orange-haired, bug-eyed freak.
Totally sane when it came to a plan. It wasn't just some irrational idea of like, I'm doing this today. This was a.
So was it all a show? What he was trying to pull at the trial? Well, because
he's bananas,
he drugged out.
He's bananas. They had him on, and they did have him drop down. Yeah, but whenever he sat with that psychiatrist, he had all these cogent thoughts. There, it wasn't just the ramblings of a madman. And the guy's like, he can answer questions, and that's all you need for a trial. He's still nuts, but they're like, he can answer questions. He's not. If he's, I have assessed that this guy, if he starts babbling, is putting on an act, because he'll sit and tell me about this because he wants to tell the story. It was amazing. It's depressing as hell, but it's like, wow, this is pretty unbelievable that he said, I just didn't. And once I sat down next to those people, I felt like, that's too close. So the key to it all is every time you go to a movie, just walk down every aisle and give everybody in the thing a thumb. How you doing, man? How you doing? Just be real. Hey, let's go and do the Brady. And just, hey, good to know you. How you doing, buddy? Hey, what's up, pal? Just do the Drew Haybatter and go through every aisle and say hi to everyone, and they won't shoot you. I might shoot you for getting in my face and bothering me, but still. The mass shooter. Or bomber, or whatever it is. They're going to leave you alone if they're friends with you in their own weird, twisted way. It was crazy. So, yeah. So, bombs going off at South by Southwest and all sorts of events like that. You can worry about it.
I don't know. I'm just not going to change my life.
No, I'm not either, but it does make you think.
Because it's so rare.
It isn't even about your life changing. It is about the way your brain handles stuff, though. Because whenever you're in a mass pack of crowd, you're like, well, this would be a perfect show.
Hard not to think about.
Your brain just tells you.
Sure.
Yeah. When Till came out in that Rammstein show inside T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, and we'd all just gone through security and everybody's having the time of their lives, and he walked on stage in a suicide vest, and you knew exactly what it was, there was a pause in the cheering. The whole thing went, oh. Because you realize, okay.
Are you sure that was a suicide? Because he has the vest where he puts his microphone.
It blew up.
Oh.
It was a suicide vest. Okay. Tripp and his wife are behind me going, that was a little too far. And Megan's uncomfortable. Everybody, and the guys in front of us are like, all the fire and exploding, everybody was kind of like, we don't want to be reminded of it that visually. Because he came out, that little march he's got.
Well, you'll remember it.
It was bombs and wires and all sorts of stuff. And he's walking out in the suicide vest like, you're all going to die tonight. And he's got this big smile on his face. And all of us sat and thought for a second, and we're trapped in here. Yeah. If somebody decided
maybe
to do
he is crazy.
Yeah, if somebody decided to do that for real, there's nothing we could do about it. And then it went off, and you're like, yeah, that was uncomfortable. Make the guitarists shoot fire out of muzzles at each other. That's fun, but the suicide vest is too close.
Stick that guy in the treadmill.
Yeah. Stuff him in a box and blow him up. They did that a couple of times. But as long as it's an individual that's playing along, we weren't. We weren't in on the whole, hey, I'm going to blow you up too. It's like, no, I didn't sign up for that. I'm just here for the music. And the fire, and the show. Keep it on the stage. But it was weird. So, yeah, we all think about garbage like that. It's craziness. It's not a normal thing to be in a crowd like that and not think of it. Like, just going through. It runs through everybody's mind, whether you want it to or not. We all kind of suck now as humans.
You feel exposed.
You are. And it just shines a light on when you are, when you feel vulnerable. Yeah, creepy grossness. But yeah, Stephen Hawking's chair, I want it if it's for sale. I didn't know that.
Well, that and someone said,
oh, the O.J. Simpson confessions happened while we were off.
And then something real quick about Stephen Hawking. Someone says, John, please buy that chair so I don't see it on Pawn Stars.
I know. Someday you will anyway. But yeah, for now it has to have a lot of value for a little bit. Somebody said, play Mr. Roboto for maybe it'll be on the list. The O.J. Did you guys watch the O.J. confessions?
No.
Oh!
I heard something I about this, but I don't know. What happened?
It was on – well, it was the 2006 interview that got – everybody's going to sue everybody, and it went away, so they couldn't run it. But this lady named Judith Regan interviewed O.J. for the book he was going to do called If I Did It. And so he starts going on – and it was not yesterday, Sunday. It's Sunday before. And so it's all hypothetical. She's asking him, like, all right, well, tell me what happened the night of the crime then. And he goes, now keep in mind, this is all hypothetical. She's like, all right. In his hypothetical, he says, I remember. When you're giving a hypothetical story, it's very rare that you're like, oh, yeah, no, I remember reaching back and getting a knife. I remember that. Like, well, this isn't hypothetical anymore. And then he said, then I blacked out. When you're telling a story that's fake, usually the part after the murder, well, I just blacked out for about an hour. You don't include your blacking out part when you're the creator of the dance. Blacking out's not part of it. But then he said, I just stood there. It was just horrifying. What I saw was just There was just stuff everywhere. And she goes, stuff? What do you mean? Blood. Just everywhere. And then I had to get rid of the clothes. And then in the hypothetical story, he says, so I got my clothes out and put them in a bag. Because it was covered.
What a nut job.
And then, but then he said, and I had to go, and she said, didn't you have to go back for your keys and your wallet? Yeah, I remember, I do remember having to go back and get my keys and wallet. I do remember that. And then it all kind of went black. And Charlie's screaming, what'd we just do, Juice? What'd we just do? And I'm like, wow, for this is a very elaborate if I'd have done it, but I didn't.
Who the hell's Charlie?
Charlie's is
Charlie Murphy?
And the beginning of the hypothetical. Yeah, that's what I just, for some reason, that's what I picture. Like, the only black guy I thought would hang out with OJ at the time would be Charlie Murphy also.
Meanest looking.
Don't know any other, most Charlies I know are white, nerdy guys, maybe. So he's like, Charlie was a friend I had made recently. We weren't that close.
It's a make-believe friend.
It's, and that's what the psychiatrist in the little panel said. Charlie is OJ. Charlie is OJ. Because you don't have Charlie, your new friend, holding a knife. Just in case. A
lot of trust in the new friend.
Just hanging out at your ex-wife's house. And he's holding a knife, and I had to reach back and get the knife from Charlie.
Although OJ does have a lot of leeches on him, a lot of people around him.
Right.
He's, of course,
big fans.
You know, denying everything, post-interviews now. He's saying, you know what, listen, they're there to get ratings, and they're going to pimp me. I'm going to be pimped a lot if they can make money and get ratings.
They didn't have to try too hard to pimp him. I mean, this was not – they said the next few minutes are unedited, so this is OJ's story. And he – again, in a hypothetical, if I told you, Brady, hypothetically, I went to Karchner Caverns.
Yeah.
And so we drove down there. It was great. I remember we had burgers. And then we got to the caverns, and Megan fell down, and then from there on, I don't remember much. And then when we were leaving, it's like, why would I include what I didn't remember in a story I'm making up?
Yeah.
It doesn't add up at all. If I'm telling you a story about what exactly happened as I saw it, even though I'm making it up completely, I wouldn't include I didn't remember, I blacked out. You don't say I remember in a hypothetical. It just doesn't happen that way. It was weird. But yeah, he confessed murder, and Christopher Darden was on the panel too. Can't believe you guys didn't see that one. That was so great. And Christopher Darden said he just confessed to murder because he knows for a fact he can't get tried for it again, and he needs to get it off his chest. This is a guilt release. And the Judith Regan lady said he kept saying off the thing he wanted to leave. I got to get out of here. I can't do this interview. I got to go. And she's like, calm him down and get him back. And then he said it was pretty amazing because he's like, I got to say it's hypothetical because I need my kids to still think that this is right. So he kept reiterating off the thing, the hypothetical part. Is so people around me and who love me know that this is in my brain only.
And what kind of vanity do you have that you have to go through that interview?
Oh, it's guilt.
Agree to it.
I don't think it's vanity. Yeah. It's guilt. He knows.
Do anything for money. Vanity.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get paid for that.
No.
He didn't get paid for that?
He can't make any money off of
this.
2006.
Yeah.
But he can't get any money. That's one of the reasons it didn't air is because the Goldmans find out he's trying to make money. They get it. When it has anything to do with that case.
Well, I thought I heard he was getting money, but he...
No, he gets his,
like
he gets his
pension.
He's entitled to his pension money, and anything new that isn't case-related he can get. But he still owes them money, so they can garnish everything. But that book, they ended up owning it, changed the name of it to I Did It. And then the book company's like, we are going to get into a lawsuit here back and forth. They scrapped the whole thing. It's stuck in a corner. It didn't release like it was supposed to. And this interview was supposed to go a certain direction. It got scrapped because they thought, you know, it was crooked and weird the way the money was being handled and all that stuff. They had all sorts of reasons that it got canceled.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. You'd think the interview would have run because the money would go to the Goldmans.
Right. Well, Darden was one of them who stopped it. He's like, there's no reason to give this guy any time on television. So there was a group of people that said, stop this interview. And the network did it. And the people who owned it said no. And Judith Regan was, you know, the lady who did all the work on the interview. She was stuffed in the corner. So then, it you know, time went by, and everybody's like, all right, release it. Let's see what he's got. It was weird because it was a confession. It was a murder confession. And it was just eerie because the details that he had were...
spot on.
Well, spot on to a point of a guy who would have been there. Mm-hmm. And then...
You wonder if he kept, you know, going back to Charlie was helping him there the whole time. This imaginary
they
deal.
They said that that's what Christopher Darden's Charlie is OJ, and it's his rage inside of him. It's the person he remembers having the conflict with, which was his own self in that drive home. And he was the only one on this. And he said, and if there was another person there at this point, something would have slipped because he's talking. And he's been talking for years. So it's crazy. Yeah, if you get a chance to grab hold of that thing, they'll re-air it, I'm sure. But it was fascinating. Yeah, that was one thing about, I wanted to come on just the next morning and blab away, but I slept until 11 instead. It was better. It's 6:48. What do you got on the big board of musical treats there, Eric?
All right, wake-up song brought to you by ELOteam.com. If you're thinking about buying a home or selling one, if you're selling a house, we have discounts for KUPD listeners, veterans, first responders. Get in touch with us, ELOteam.com. Seven Dust up here.
Yeah.
Dirty, the brand new one from Seven Dust.
Getting close to the big show.
Yeah, it's going to be on their new album here. It's their first single. So let's go ahead and do that one.
Dirty. I like this. Jimmy Taylor's nailed it. He said, Stephen Hawking's chair should be displayed at a science center where people can sit in it, get a photo with the frame that reads, "Do I look smarter?" or something. You know, it's a great idea. You can actually sit in Stephen's chair.
You have to do his Hawking pose.
Everyone would do the pose. Yep. Stephen had a great sense of humor. The Simpsons were his favorite show.
You'd make bank.
Oh, well, $10, you sit in the chair, tours from each major metropolitan area's science center. Stephen Hawking's chair, are you kidding? If that showed up down there, and then they'd talk about black holes and all of his work and stuff.
You could fund a lot of science projects.
At the end, like Pompeii was great. At the end, there was just a bunch of dead bodies, but it took forever to get to the bodies. The science center's like, at the end, you get to sit in the chair. I don't want it velvet roped. I want to plop down in it. And then you can look at, the screen and make it talk. Hello, my name is John Holmberg. Ah! All right, next. People paid $125 to shake hands with Mike Tyson at that stupid thing we were at. He didn't even talk to you. It was the chair's more animated than Mike Tyson was. No pictures. Don't ask him questions. No phones. Just get up, get your picture, and move on. And Mike was not ready for questions.
Uh-huh, right.
No. It wasn't a peep. Just that dead face cardboard stare. Hey, champ, how are you? Nothing. Not a thing. He's not home. Pretty great. Yeah, let's do it. We got Seven Dust. They're coming to town for the big smokeout. 420 is right around the corner. Five Finger Death Punch and these guys. Seven Dust will be there. Jonathan Davis from Korn. He's got his whole thing going on there. This is going to be pretty great. And people are just sucking up tickets like mad on this thing. Everybody's dying to go to it. You throw the words 420 onto a rock show and everybody goes bananas. So it's a big smokeout we got going on. And it's going to be over at Mesa Riverview, which should be a fantastic location, having been by the Cubbies facility a couple times and seeing the grounds firsthand. This is going to be awesome. So if you get your tickets now, good for you. Don't wait because, they're going fast. The VIPs are already, I think, sold out, but this is a pretty good deal.
Arizona's most powerful rock radio station.
It's out of control now.
98 KUPD.